And this is Coast Community Radio, KMUN Astoria 91.9, KTCB Tillamook 89.5, and coastradio.org, wherever you are in the world. And this, of course, goes out to Fodder and Faddle and Mutter and Grandma, the whole mishpacha. We are having some fun. I hope you're having fun wherever you are. If there's the slightest chance you're not, get on over to the coast, the northwest corner of Oregon, and have yourself a blast, because there is so much going on here in the arts, and it is going to be a fun, fun weekend. And if you are a film buff, this is the only place in the world for you this weekend. And my guest's going to tell you about that very shortly. Thanks for being here, folks. I'm going to start out with a little music from one of my almost guests, and that would be, well, the music from one of my almost guests, and that would be some flamenco music. And this is Nuevo Flamenco, so I'm not sure how it syncs with the flamenco dancing that is going on tonight with Savannah Fuentes, presenting Northern Lights, and it's a tour of flamenco dance and music with singer Juanarito from Spain and guitarist Bobby de Sofia, as in Sofia, Bulgaria, at 8 p.m. this evening at the Performing Arts Center, 16th and Franklin. Do stay tuned. Thank you. again, we will be having a flamenco music and dance this evening with a singer, guitarist, and dancer. That's at the Performing Arts Center, 16th and Franklin. Show up at the door, and 8 p.m. is the show. And they will be there because they're on their way already, but not in time for the show. However, you can also show up for something else, and that is the incredible Astoria International Film Festival. And my guest is Ron Craig, who is the, well, I think he's actually the creator. He's certainly the director, and he's been doing it for a number of years, and this is the year when we want to overwhelm him. We actually want to have so many people at the Liberty that Ron is just totally blown away. Okay, Ron, does that sound good to you?
I'm ready for it. I'm wearing my cowboy boots, so I'm
you
good
are.
For it.
Yeah, there you go. Well, you have put in so much time and energy. What number is this for?
This is number 9.
Okay, number 9. That's a good number. And it starts this evening and goes through Sunday. And just for the basic logistics, which we will get back to later, and that is that you can come to any of the shows, or can they buy a ticket for the whole
thing?
Yeah,
we have a kind of a scale. It's a $40 fee, and that involves all. That's all of the films for $40 a pass. And so it's one of the things that we realized that we wanted to make it very affordable to everybody. So the tickets actually are $5 a piece.
And we don't do prices here. My guests know, my audience knows that. But this is unbelievably cheap for fabulous phones. Fabulous phones. I heard a phone. Fabulous films. Better than phones anytime.
Absolutely.
So just come to the Liberty this evening or tomorrow, or the next day, and get your ticket, come on in, and just be blown away, really. So why did you come to Astoria, Ron?
Well, Astoria, I'm an Oregonian. I can say that. I wasn't actually born here, but I was only a babe in arms when my parents arrived here in Oregon. So I'll go with that, push the envelope there. Astoria, I'm, I guess, sort of a documentary film history buff, and it's just steeped with so much of that history that I, for the Oregon coast, it for me, it was just an ideal place to be able to showcase films, because especially, specifically, we're really in a lot of documentary films and stuff, and I just thought, you think about the history here as far as 1811, the fact of how long this area has been occupied as far as for human beings, plus the fact
from thousands of years with
yes,
human beings.
Yes, we don't even know.
That's
so.
Right.
So at the same time, we have the geography here of one of the more, should I say, interesting rivers in the world, and it's at the confluence of the Pacific Ocean.
Yeah.
And so all that happening, and we have this incredible sandbar, all these things happening there. And the wildlife that's here between the sea lions and the birds and the fish and everything, it just for me was a very much of a spiritual link to be able to do this.
Okay. So 9 years, always at the Liberty?
Yes, we've always been at the Liberty. And once again, it's one of the, for historic flashpoint, it's an old vaudeville theater. And for me, it's just so steep with history that when I walk into it, and it is haunted, and haunted is not a bad thing.
Mm-hmm. No.
And I think there's spirits there that I think for me, it's always been sort of a push and giving their blessings to what we're doing there as far as entertainment.
Absolutely. Absolutely. As a matter of fact, you can see some of the old equipment down below. So getting to this year, and I have found every year, because I always catch at least part of the festival, there are several films that just go deep inside, and I'm sure everyone in the audience finds the same or different ones. So why don't you tell us however you like, if you want to do it chronologically starting this evening, or you want to give us some specialties, what?
Well, I I think what I'm going to start out with is one of the kind of special things is the fact that we were able to get the Ingmar Bergman film. And that was a major coup for our team to be able to secure that film. And it's kind of the flashpoint of it, the film. And because people look at Ingmar Bergman as an actress and what she contributed to the entertainment. And I think the idea of this film being out is just gives people an insight on the other side of her beyond the fact of being Humphrey Bogart's love interest in Casablanca. what it shows is films that she actually did on her camera, Super 8. Mm. So when you have an individual that's actually sort of chronicling their own life, I think that's really an advantage for us because we really get to see how they feel as they've passed on. Because people just see her, the many movies she did was an incredible talent. And at the same time, it's a link to the incredible Scandinavian community here in the Northwest. So I think, that is really incredible.
Well, now, this is a Swedish documentary. What language is the film in?
It's a little bit of both as far as English, and then we have a little bit of Swedish involved in it, because I think that that's another reason as far as having films like this. When people listen to that, they look at it, and they're really being drawn into this person's life, when they hear their language, how they're speaking their language, and the fact that she was orphaned at 13 years of age, it gives really a personal spin to it.
So when... this is a new film.
Yes. Actually, it was premiered in New York a few days ago. And then I said, wow, this is really incredible. And once again, our team was able to secure it. So I went from New York to Astoria, Oregon. And so, how incredible is that?
I love it. And this was not Astoria, New York. This was Manhattan, I'm sure. And now it's in Astoria, Oregon. That is a coup. How does that work? When you talk about your team, what does that mean?
Well, what happens, we have all the companies, as far as filmmakers, a lot of times it comes into securing a distributor. Mm-hmm. A distributor secures, as far as a fee for being able to put the films out there in the market. This particular film, there's only, I believe, one other screening that's going to happen to qualify it, because it's the Scandinavian film that they're going to submit to the Academy Awards.
Oh, my goodness.
And so it's so many films, so many venues they have to do to be able to qualify.
Oh.
And so Astoria, ta-da, we are one of those venues that all of a sudden people said, well, once again, it's on the West Coast, folks.
Yeah. Right. Notice the O-R, not N-Y.
Yes. It's just one of those things that we're kind of this little special corner of Oregon.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So this is happening tomorrow, Saturday at 4 p.m. Again, if you just tuned in, we're talking about the Astoria International Film Festival, the 9th annual, and Ron chose to start out with this extraordinary coup, Saturday at 4 p.m., Jeg Ingrid. That would be I Am Ingrid, I presume.
Yeah.
I'm sure you speak fluent Swedish as well. Okay, tell us more.
We also have Finding Vivian Maier, and... this is, once again, as a history person, in looking at history as a river and as it flows, Vivian was this individual who took these incredible photographs during her lifetime. And it was like over 100,000 photographs she had taken. And the photographs were not discovered through sort of circuitous sort of routes and stuff until after she had passed. And actually, a gentleman who had purchased them through a auction.
Oh, wow.
So once again, I look at this as one of these doorways into a person's, shall we say, artistic soul.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that what she left behind. And as an artist myself, I don't know if she had have been received at the time of the photographs, because the fact that as a distractor, that was what she was focused on. And as other photographers out there, or even musicians, 100,000 photographs in a lifetime is a significant amount of photographs.
Yeah. And now, do you have an idea, because this is a brand new film. Oh, wow. It was nominated for Best Documentary at the 2015 Academy Awards. Now, when did she live? Do you know?
I'm not really sure as far as the dates on as far as her living.
Mm-hmm.
But all basically, from what I understand from looking at, it was all prior to a lot of our technology that we're experiencing now, obviously. Mm-hmm. And so it also gives people into a window into what, shall we say, it's almost like history as far as how people were photographing using photography in the days.
I'm looking at this outfit she's wearing and the one in the background. I can't even figure out what country we're talking, whether she's, because the spelling of her name, M-A-I-E-R. Quickly tell folks the website for the festival in case
it's goaiff.com, or you can just go to Astoria International Film Festival and it will pop up number one on there.
That
will
one also, and only.
That will also get you there, which also gives you a list of the times, a list of the films and the times of the films that we'll be experiencing for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Okay, now that Finding Vivian Maier is right before Ingrid Bergman, and that's 2 p.m. on Saturday.
Right.
Come back a minute, and we're hoping that one of our filmmakers is on the road. I told him to drive carefully, but he's trying to get here before the show's over so he can tell his own story. But the festival opens this evening at 5:15 with a 2014 French-Brazilian documentary, The Salt of the Earth. Why did you choose this one?
Well, once again, drawn to the medium as far as photography.
Mm-hmm.
As a mature person, a lot of my involvement as far as the films came through photography as a young child. And I think still now, as I told my nephew, the fact that what you do with photography, you're giving people that third eye to be able to see what you see. And I think when we have an opportunity to be able to look at that third eye of the individuals or the photographers, I think it really gives us also a perspective of how we see things.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
so photography is always, I think for the most part, over the 9 years, we probably had at least four or five different films that dealt with the photographic image.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and boy, you know, when I moved here, the things I missed most were foreign films and foreign food. So I really appreciate your bringing us this festival. This is so exciting. Okay, then, and this is the one we're going to hold in case Ian is able to make it here at 7:15 this evening, documentary Voyagers Without Trace, the journey of three French adventurers. And again, We'll hold on that one. Ron may have to fill in, but right now let's skip that one. It's very, very exciting that is here as well. Okay, and then you don't stop. Tonight at 8:45, what do you got?
We got Wild Tales, and I think, knowingly, is being able to see that it's a number of different little vignettes of experiences people are involved in as far as their lives. And
this is Argentinian, I see, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. We will be serving beef brisket on the side for that. No, I'm just sorry about
that. Get out of here. Brisket is not. Go on. Yes, go on.
But yes, once again, as far as being able to bring foreign films. And this particular film, like I said, it has been nominated for a number of awards. And it also gives a sort of a personality looking inside, sort of a whimsical look at how people feel about individual aspects of their life.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when we, once again, to be able to bring this as an international film, is the film festival is the fact that we have people, you know, that are, you know, thousands of miles, but they still deal with some of the same issues that we deal with here in Astoria or Long Beach or Portland.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Very humanizing. And I'm thinking this is going to be in Spanish.
Yes.
With subtitles, probably?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, so that, starts at 8:45, 9:45, 10:15. So you might get out by 10, 10:30, something like that.
Yes.
Yeah. So you can go home and go to bed, or you can do one of the many other things that are happening. And then Saturday, before Vivian Maier and Ingrid Bergman, What is this Dinosaur 13 that starts at noon? Is that a kid's thing or is that an adult?
No, it's an adult.
Oh, no, I see. Yeah.
And it opened the Sundance Film Festival. And it's one of those things that, once again, as far as we look at our prehistoric or history, and as far as the finding of these, should I say, these ancient bones, that it's, we are so, as a human, as a race, as human beings, are so tied to the idea of what was here before we were here. And when those little things come up, we're talking about 65 million years.
Oh, my gosh.
That's a little, you know,
that's
bit
hard
of time.
To, hard to get your head around, actually.
I can't.
So this is the discovery of the largest, most complete Tyrannosaurus Rex skeleton ever found. Is this a new film?
Yes, it's a relatively new film. It's one of those things, situations as far as those films, that I can be very frank with you. People look at it, what the heck is, am I going to watch this? What's this about? Is it, like you said, it's a kid's film and stuff, but we look at those and people are riveted to it. Because you think about, especially people who are involved in this, how long, once again, as far as, you know, 65 million years, like I said, it's so difficult to, you know, to wrap your mind around
that.
So, yes, I think people will sit there and they may have second thoughts about initially when they read it. But trust me, it's something you'll definitely be,
pulled into. Yeah. Yeah. Wow. So you don't have to be a natural history buff to appreciate it.
No.
Yeah. It's okay, so that's at noon. 2 p.m. is Vivian Meyer. 4 p.m. is Ingrid Bergman. 7 p.m., what do you got there?
We got Black Road. And Gary Lundgren also had done Redwood Highway, which we premiered here last year. And this film was filmed on the Oregon coast. And talking about timelines as far as dinosaurs, we're talking about 2029. and so I, you know, once again, trying to grasp that on the Oregon coast, well, I always say, well, can you still get a good cup of coffee here? And it's a sci-fi sort of artificial intelligence look, and it's sort of a dark sort of approach. But like I said, the idea that it's filmed on the Oregon coast. And back to one of the little icons of our mission statements is to be able to showcase local artists. And also people don't understand a lot of films, independent films, are filmed on the Oregon coast.
And this is so, am I right that this is the first one of the ones we've talked about that is not a documentary?
Yes. Okay. Correct.
Okay. Oh, gosh, these documentaries are so exciting. I'm taking a class right now through Encore with Maria Brooks in documentaries. So I think you may have even shown her film one time about women at sea. Okay, and then Saturday night at 8:45. Oh, wow. Okay, tell us about this, Juliette Binoche.
Once again, we have a, I say, it's a French, all French film. And it's one of those sort of films that you look at it and it is a, shall I say, a full-length film. And as far as the involvement and what you see here, there are a number of different characters you've seen in other films around the country and stuff. The idea that it was actually done in Switzerland, and we have the idea of this European theater that we're seeing all these things that are acted out in it. I guess I could probably say it's kind of a heart-pulling sort of thing, being able to look at as people's personalities and their problems interact with each other. And it's just one of those things to get away from the documentaries, to get to a real life situation, not the documentaries are. I think people will find it a draw as far as the film itself.
Okay, and that will close out Saturday night. Sunday, this is the one that you are doing as a tribute to the achievements of the Astoria Music Festival. Tell us.
Yes. As far as Seymour Bernstein, it's, once again, you know, everybody knows about, almost everybody knows about, as far as the Astoria Music Festival, able to be able. That's really good.
you've been going a mile a minute. I know. Yeah.
But it's one of those things that when you look at people who have made a commitment to their art, mm-hmm. And as far as the talent, I think that once we look behind the scenes and see what an individual, as far as in Seymour, is the fact that we understand what it really takes and what people give up and what mm-hmm. As far as being able to pursue their dreams and their talents and their arts. And I think what it does, it gives people a handle on just what it means to be an artist, because there are artists out here that they make the whole lifetime commitment, and there are artists around here that make the lifetime commitment. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I think when you see this, you're going to be able to see an incredible, as far as a classical pianist, as far as what he had gone through and what his involvement. It's just really, myself, when I first saw it, I teared up. It mm-hmm. just was really one of those emotional experiences.
Okay, and then we've got a little break for half an hour. You allow people to take a break and have a free reception of croissant and café mm-hmm. at the in the Liberty. You don't get out of the Liberty, but you do get it's right there in the lobby. And then at noon will be another showing of Ian McCluskey's Voyagers Without Trace. We're going to give him a few more minutes, but it's not looking great, but Ron, yeah, I know you can do it, but let's pass on to the 130 New Jersey.
Ian's going to be at the film festival too, so people have an opportunity
right.
to be able to talk
absolutely.
To
absolutely.
As far as where are we now? Radio.
Is that yes, yeah. yes, the radio.
Yeah.
And here we are on the radio, right?
Well, this is one of the first films that came across my desk, and this was, you know, probably almost a year ago. And it was a young gentleman on the East Coast. I think he's from New Jersey, actually. He will be here also. And it's like a short film in which we really, once again, back to our mission statement, we really promote short films. Mm-hmm. Short films. There are people who do a lot of short films. That's what they do with short films. But also at the same time, it's a doorway for people to be able to find out what they want to do or mm-hmm. be able to tell their story. But radio, it's like it's a young child or young man and stuff. And as far as his, you know, we all have gone through that at some point, or maybe as far as being like a young kid and being smitten by a love affair and so mm-hmm. on and so forth. Mm-hmm. And it becomes, you know, actually sort of academic. But yeah, at the same time, as a young person, you cannot look at that as being academic. It's a life crisis.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. And that's pretty exciting, though, that New Jersey filmmaker Michael Boylan will be present. And that's 1:30 on Sunday, right after Voyagers. And then at 3:45 is the finale with the one, the only, Casablanca.
Yes.
I had someone write me. I sent out information about this film festival happening to a bunch of people. One person wrote back and said, I'll be there for Casablanca, at least, and maybe back up. But can't miss a showing on a big screen. He said he'd never seen it on the big screen. So,
well, part of the thing I think with the Casablanca, it is considered one of the top, American Film Institute, one of the top films ever made, and also, I'm talking to not necessarily colleagues, but people that didn't realize that to see it, that is a love story. And they never really looked at it as a love story because of the conflict that was going on.
Oh, my God.
As far as
yeah.
the war and everything, that's what it's about. And so I said, when you look at the film, how many times does Lauren Bacall, right?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Ingrid Bergman.
Ingrid Bergman kiss Humphrey Bogart? Versus how many times she kisses her husband. Trust me, I don't believe the whole thing she ever kisses her husband. Mm-hmm. So anyway, mm-hmm. having said mm-hmm. that, look, oh, wow, so it is a love story.
Well, it never occurred to me that it wasn't a love story. Yeah. It's so amazing. So Ingrid, the documentary is at 4 p.m. on Saturday, and then you can watch the watch her in the classic 1942, yeah. Casablanca, closing the festival at starting at 3:45. Again, this is the Astoria International Film Festival. Go AIFF.com or just Astoria International Film Festival. It's at the Liberty Theater, 12th and Commercial. Starts tonight at 5:15. Now, do you want to give us a quick, I'm looking, I don't see Ian yet, so maybe you should just give us a couple of lines about what his Voyagers Without Trace.
Well, number one is, as far as Ian as a filmmaker, he had done a film, Eloquent Nude, a number of years ago, which we actually premiered at the film festival, our first film festival, 9 years ago. And the fact of being able to stumble upon this film as far as some of the Super 8 materials that had been archived, nobody had seen this material. And all of a sudden, you know, which is, he's incredible about stumbling upon things like this, is the fact that seeing this, this film, because what it does, it's a transition from the Wild West, what it was, the Wild West, to a more contemporary West that none of us here probably experienced that. But to seeing that and to be able to kayaking down a, you know, a wild river at the time as far as the Colorado and the Green River, mm-hmm. and for, you know, three Frenchmen to do it also. And for me, it goes back to the idea, and as far as Lewis and Clark, there were Frenchmen on the expedition. There were Frenchmen all over this country.
Oh, yeah. What's with the Frenchmen in this film festival? You got them all over the place.
And
yeah.
So, you know, there we have it, you know. And so as right. far as being able to look at it, and that, the young couple, it was actually their honeymoon mm-hmm. That they were on. And so Ian actually had got involved in kayaking to be able to get a more up-close right. experience of what physically what they were going through. And I applaud that totally, you know, yeah. as far as a true filmmaker.
And true dedication, absolutely. Mm. So this was obviously Ian is a young person, but the film, the content takes place 1938, the first to kayak the Colorado and Green Rivers. And Ian McCluskey will be present this evening. His film is 7:15, and he'll probably be there even earlier. And again on Sunday afternoon, my guest, Ron Craig, has done a yeoman's job. My God, Ron.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for once again bringing a fabulous festival to Astoria, Oregon, that is. And folks, just come on over and catch whichever ones catch your fancy, or catch the whole festival and enjoy it. Yeah. Thanks so much, Ron. Yeah.
One other thing that I wanted to mention is we have a number of shorts that are going to be sprinkled through the film festival. And
oh,
it's
my
Bill
goodness.
Plimpton. Mm-hmm. Bill Plimpton is a local animator born and raised in Portland. Mm-hmm. And he's been in international festivals all over the globe. And he is also going to be in attendance here. And we'll
great.
Be sprinkling his films there all through the film festival.
This is going to be a heaven. Okay. Thank you so much. And I so appreciate that you care enough and are dedicated enough to just keep on putting us in the limelight here and bringing it to us so we don't have to go somewhere else and find it. Thanks,
well,
Ron.
Well, I really, really appreciate the community and their involvement in it.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Ron Craig, the director of the 9th Annual Astoria International Film Festival. You are listening to Coast Community Radio, KMUN Astoria, KTCB Tillamook. And I have a little music here from the Von Trapps. Yes, those Von Trapps, they're the grandchildren. And they were here doing a concert. But tonight, they're going to be back at the Sand Trap, 7 p.m. this evening. Have a listen. Do stay tuned. Thanks for being here, folks.
How many times does it take to learn? The further I hold my heart out, the harder it burns. Even though I could try to protect my soul by turning my
Well, you're listening to The Von Trapps, Dancing in Gold. And, yeah, this is the album that was produced by Israel Nebeker and by the same name, Dancing in Gold. And again, they're going to be at the Sand Trap in Gearhart this evening at 7 o'clock. Oh, folks, I hope you're writing all this down. There is so much happening, you won't believe it. Okay, well, I have some music that is actually representative of what my next guests are going to be sharing with you. And this is a concert coming up on Sunday. I see my filmmaker just arrived. Better late than never, I guess. Have a listen, folks. The consort of all sorts. This gorgeous music you're listening to right now is from the Consort of All Sorts, a local, that would be Astoria, group that plays concerts in various places. And they are doing a concert this Sunday as a benefit for the Clatsop County Warming Center. It's at 3 p.m. at Grace Church in Astoria. And my guests are Ray Lund. Hi, Ray.
Hi there.
Okay. Remember, you have to stay on the microphone. Yeah. Ray hasn't been on the radio in 20 years, so I'm going to leave it to the audience to decide whether you're a radio re-virgin or whether, you know.
Oh, that's nice you of got you.
Yeah, okay. Okay, good. I hope your wife is listening, too. And Charlie Schweigert. Hi, Charlie.
Hi.
Not a virgin. And Drew Herzig.
Hello, Carol.
Not a virgin. Those guys are on numerous times, and we are very happy that that's a happening thing. So the Consort of All Sorts, that's, I have to admit, that is the one of my favorite band names, or I don't know, do you call yourself a band? What do you call when you're for chamber music, what?
We're a band.
A band.
I prefer chamber music.
Oh, right. Orchestra.
I see. Well, that's nice to see that the one with the British accent is more relaxed about the whole thing. And, so, and that would be Ray. So, Music for Warm Nights, I presume the name is because of the benefit? Or did you expect it to be hot weather? And or what are you doing?
Well, actually, as it turns out, both of those are true. It is warm weather, and it is a benefit for the Astoria Warming Center. And since Drew has been one of the prime movers for the center, I'll let him explain about it.
Okay. Do you want to tell us now about the... is that what prompted you to do the concert, or you were going to do the concert? Fess up. You were ready to do a concert.
It's by popular demand, but, yes.
I see. This would be Astoria council member, counselor,
I guess so.
Drew Herzig. But in this particular situation, he's also one of the band members or the chamber...
Chamber ensemble.
Yeah. He's one of the chamber ensemble. You sing, is that right?
On occasion, yes. Occasionally the concert does some Celtic pieces, and I play the hand drum, the boron, the Irish drum.
Okay. Is that going to happen this time?
Not this time. But possibly for our Christmas concert.
Okay.
Stay tuned.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. Teaser.
Okay. Give us a quickie on the Warming Center. What's the story?
Well, last year we opened the Astoria Warming Center for the first time, and people are not quite clear on the concept. We are ready to open. We're hoping to be ready to open by mid-November, but we only open when the temperature falls below a certain temperature kind
right,
of thing. So
right.
That's hence the term warming center. So it's not like a 7-day-a-week emergency shelter. It's a warming center for temperature. We're hoping if we get enough volunteers to open when the temperature falls below 40 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes in different locales, they'll put it at freezing and that sort of thing. But out here at the coast with the humidity, 40 degrees, if you're sleeping outside, can be pretty
absolutely
chilly.
Absolutely,
kind of
yeah.
And we don't want to expose people to that. So if we get enough volunteers, we're going to be planning to open, ready to open by mid-November, depending on the temperature. And we're hoping that our temperature will be below 40 degrees.
So can you, you may be hoping that, but some of us are hoping it's up in the 60s.
Yes. People.
No.
Yeah, I understand.
Climate change and all that, yeah. Just a joke.
We had a very warm winter last winter,
yeah,
that's for sure. And
did.
The previous winter was a very cold winter,
right.
So it's fluctuating.
Who knows what's going to happen?
Yes.
Can you tell us where it's going to be? Or?
This year we're going to be at the First United Methodist Church, which is on 11th and Franklin. Carol Pritchard and the community have been really gracious. They've invited us to be in their facility, so we're going to be sharing that. Co-locating is the new term kind of thing.
Okay.
And they've been really generous in offering us the use of their space.
Excellent. Thank you to them. And thank you to all of the volunteers. If someone does want to volunteer, obviously, if they're at the concert, they can speak to you. If they can't be at the concert,
they could get in touch with me, drewherzig@gmail.com. That's drewherzig@gmail.com. And I'll let them know we're going to be doing an open house so people can come and look at the operation and get a sense for it. And then from that, they'll understand if they want to fit in some way in volunteering, and we'll be training the volunteers so that nobody, hits the floor without any training.
Literally.
Yes.
Okay. Right. Okay. Now, back to the fun part of the concert, which is happening this Sunday. Again, Charlie Schweigert and Ray Lund. Ray, what are you going to be doing? Yeah, did you want to give us a
I just wanted to clarify that the concert is free, but we will be soliciting donations for the Warming Center.
Good.
But
good.
It's not required.
Good.
We do all of our concerts as benefits for different groups in the community.
Lovely.
We do this because we love it. We're not doing it to make money.
Yeah. Musicians making money. Okay. Ray, what are you going to be doing?
Where do I fit in? Okay. So my role is playing the harpsichord in this. And if you look at often these sort of small music groups, the harpsichordist is the guy at the back who nods furiously, but you never actually hear a note except when they play out of place somewhere. Hopefully we're small enough that you can even hear the harpsichord occasionally. And this time, I'm obviously playing in the group, but this time round I've been bullied by my colleagues into playing three small solo pieces.
Oh, wow.
And in my nearly 70 years of keyboard playing, this is the first time I'll ever play solo for an audience.
Wow.
so this is a bit of an extraordinary experience.
So, okay, now we have a true virgin experience. Okay, folks, come on Sunday and watch Ray. And more,
make a fool more of himself.
More important, listen to him. I've heard him numerous times in concert, and he's good. Now, are you bringing your portable
No, there's actually in Grace Episcopal, there is a harpsichord which hides in the back underneath piles of wood and whatever. But it's quite a nice instrument, and it fits well with the group. So it saves a lot of schlepping instruments around, which is
the technical term. Yeah. Which space is this concert going to be in?
It's in the sanctuary.
It is in the sanctuary. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Oh, that's beautiful. Yeah, very lovely.
It's wonderful acoustics.
Lovely. Yeah. And Charlie, what are you playing?
Well,
I'm
playing the Baroque flute as part of the ensemble. And we also have Hannelore Morgan playing alto and tenor recorders. Donna Carson plays bassoon. Phyllis Taylor, cello. Ray on harpsichord. And sometimes we can coax Drew into singing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Depending on the program, we wouldn't want you singing Christmas carols, for example, this time.
This is a great sort of multi-talented group with Charlie as a renowned artist and Phyllis doing her bit too.
Another artist. These are visual artists as well.
It's visual arts and the crossover. So,
Phyllis was on the air last week with her visual
arts.
Yes,
that's right.
She opened at a show. Yeah. So did you, I understand they bullied you into playing, but did you get to choose what solos you're going to play?
I did actually, but I had to get team approval.
I'm not sure that's true. Ray is a very funny man, but it's possible. Anything is possible.
Yes.
What are you going to be doing?
Well, I'm playing three very small sonatas, two of them by Scarlatti and one by an unlikely guy by the name of Matteo Albanis. Now, he was, interestingly, he's writing music that sounds like Scarlatti.
Mm-hmm.
However, he was born just before Mozart and died after Beethoven's death. So he's quite out of period. But
oh, well, hey, if it sounds good, we're in.
Anyway,
we're
so I'm playing these as a little group. It was a pattern to play these sorts of music as a take these very small pieces and do a fast, slow, and a fast.
So you're doing it all together.
So I'm doing it all together as three little pieces. And they're very nice. That harpsichord is a very aggressive one, so playing Spanish music on an aggressive instrument sounds pretty nice.
An aggressive instrument. This is a new term I haven't heard on this show.
Well, they bite at you sometimes.
I see. I know there are some aggressive musicians, but I hadn't heard of the instrument itself. Okay. And you will be playing along with
Playing along with the group, nodding in the background somewhere.
Okay, there you go on that. So. And Charlie, what else are we going to be hearing besides?
Well, we're going to be bouncing back between Germany and Italy.
Mm-hmm.
Little Sammartini and Vivaldi from Italy. And then the Germans will be represented by Johann Sebastian Bach, Georg Philipp Telemann, and Johann Joachim Quantz, some of our old favorites.
Yeah.
If you can pronounce it, you can play it. So I guess that works for the rest of us as well. Okay, now this is this Sunday, 3 p.m., Grace Episcopal Church, and that would be right up the block from Coast Community Radio. And the concert begins at 3 and it's always good to come a little bit early. Music for warm nights. And it will be warm. It won't be night. But the main thing is that the bring some cash or checkbook, because even though the concert is a gift from the consort of all sorts, the hope is that our community will help to support the Astoria Warming Center with donations on Sunday. Anything else we need to know?
Just one point.
Yes, please.
And Charlie can fill in the details, that when you bring your checkbook, if you make it out to whatever it is, it's a tax-free donation.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can actually get it free.
That's good. That's good, folks.
What was the
Grace Episcopal Church, and it goes to the Jubilee Ministries / Warming Center.
Okay, and I'm sure they will announce it on Sunday. There'll probably be a big sign there, too.
Sign there.
Yeah, great.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Hinting, Hill, yes.
Thank you so much to all of the players of this ensemble, the consort of all sorts, for gifting the community with the music and with supporting organizations and causes that are so important to our community. So my guests, Ray Lund and Charlie Schweigert and Drew Herzig. Thanks so much for coming in, guys.
Thank you, Carol.
All right. And I have a little bit of music from Vikesh Kapoor. And he played for, I wanted to let you know this is a very special. This is tonight. No. Okay, I'm going to tell you when he's playing in a minute because I have a few discrepancies here. But have a listen to his music right here on Coast Community Radio. Stay tuned, folks. Thanks for being here.
Drag my body down from the mountain peak. Take a breath before I'm seen. I rig a rope somewhere no one knows. Like the lonely climb up a scaffold.
This is Vikesh Kapoor, and he is playing tomorrow evening at the Sou'wester in Seaview. Just want to let you know, 3 years ago, Vikesh Kapoor performed at Howard Zinn's memorial service in Boston in front of Zinn's family and colleagues, including Noam Chomsky. Inspired by Zinn's lifelong battle against class, race, injustice, Kapoor spent the next 2 years in Portland, Oregon, working on a concept record based on a related newspaper article. This is it. You're listening to it right now. His debut album, The Ballad of Willie Robbins, chronicling the brutal but hopeful story of a working-class man who slowly loses everything, ambitions, health, family, and shelter. And The New Yorker wrote about him, a series of sharply etched portraits of struggling Americans that points back along a road of socially conscious songs. Vikesh Kapoor, right here at the Sou'wester in Seaview, Saturday night, it's October 17th at 8 p.m. And guess who appeared? Hi.
Hi.
Ian McCluskey made it. He arrived just in time to miss the spot. But I wanted you to hear his voice. Hi, Ian.
Hello, thanks for having me.
Okay, I'm so glad you're here in Astoria.
I'm glad to be here, too.
Yeah, so your film is tonight and Sunday.
Tonight and Sunday, the first time it'll be shown in a theater in Oregon.
Okay. And Ron was telling us you actually learned to kayak in order to make this film.
Well, I did my best, but you'll see in the film,
You're not the...
It was a sharp learning curve,
okay.
Let's say.
Okay. But you, what inspired you?
It was basically finding a roadside marker by chance out in the middle of Wyoming and seeing two handsome men and a really beautiful woman in the team. And this was in the 1930s. And it seemed so ahead of its time that I became fascinated. And I was like, I need to find out more. And that led me to France.
And he's talking France, like Europe, France, right?
Yeah, the Pyrenees, the right. French Riviera, those things.
So you were a filmmaker before?
Not when I found the story, but I am now.
Wow. Holy cow. So it changed your life entirely.
It was an inspirational story, and it's taken us about 4 years to kind of
fantastic.
Take this journey with the film.
Fantastic. Ian McCluskey, tonight and Sunday, his His film is showing, and that is Voyagers Without Trace. Thanks so much for getting here.
Yay.
And
thank
we'll you. See you later. Okay. All right. Folks, I do want to let you know a little bit about what else is happening. And I don't have much time at all, but in addition to the flamenco dance tonight at the Performing Arts Center at 8 p.m., the Coaster Bell Book and Candle, Astor Street Opry Company opens tonight, and with Tree West and the Barn Community Playhouse, Dames at Sea, the Hayshaker Square Dance Club in Seaside, the Von Trapps at the Sand Trap, Maritime Tavern has comedy at the Coast. They'll be at the Uptown Cafe on Saturday. Gala has Palmistry at 7 o'clock Saturday. Rocky Horror Picture Show Costume Skate Party at the Armory. That's Q Center presenting. AVA at 11 a.m. is their membership meeting at the Lovell Showroom. River Bend, Over the River and Through the Woods opens tomorrow night at the NCRD at 7 and Sunday at 2, Food Roots and Art Accelerated. Why did I? So much. Art Accelerated has a pop-up art show with 20 artists at the Three Arch Inn. And Jan Bono's book signing at Three Cups Coffee. The Waiting for Godot, the auditions, 2 o'clock at the Pack tomorrow. Laxaloda, I'll be there at Suomi Hall at noon. Cannon Beach History Center, Archaeology Day, Nacelle Library, Mosaic Making Workshop, auditions in Tillamook for Neil Simon's Rumors. Sand Dune has, Slutty Hearts. That's live music, Beach Books, Nancy Slavin, and a whole bunch more. Matt Love, a whole bunch from 11 to 3. Bay Avenue Gallery, Noon Artist, Manzanita Writers at the Hoffman. That's all on Saturday. Oh, my Lord. Sunday. Sunday Afternoon Live for Youth with Casper Baby Pants. That's in Raymond. Concert for All, mostly musicals at the Pack at the very same time, 3:30 with Deke, Ann, and Richard. Fort George, the Columbians, you know who they are.